are for you if you are in Christ. So you need to know Jesus. Number two, I am new. I am not who I was. Right? If you're in Christ, you're not who you used to be. God makes you someone new. Week three, I am blessed. I am not how I feel. Right? So in Christ, we are always blessed. God has promised us health and wealth in heaven. And our eternal blessings affect our present stressings. Week four, I am chosen. I am not what I do. Right? With the world and friends and parents, they love you if you do good. But God loves you first, and then we do. Right? So we got it the other way around. Week five, last week, I said, I am adopted. I am not a mistake. If you are in Christ, God has chosen you as a son, as a daughter, to bring into his family. He is your father. You can go to him whenever you want. Okay, and so we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1 all the way up to 7. And verse 7 is our verse for today. Verse 1 to 7. You can read this. Verses 1. Do you want to read that one? It's bigger. All right, Ephesians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 7.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us.
All right. Amen. All right, thank you. We're going to pray as we begin the sermon. Why don't you close your eyes and pray with me? We're going to pray that your heart might be ready to receive the word of God. Right? We believe God's word is what matters, right? Not what I say, what God has said in the Bible, and that God would speak to me truthfully of the word to you. Do you want to pray that you would be ready to receive what God has to say as well? So we're going to pray 10, 15 seconds. And then we'll pray together. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, God, we just want to ask, Lord, that you would work in this place. God, we pray, Lord, that you would rule in this place, God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would illuminate your word and your word will be heard clearly and convictingly. People will be saved and strengthened today by the power of your word. God, we thank you that your word speaks to us today.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done for we sinned people. I hope this offering will make a difference to your kingdom. And I wish those who aren't here today be here next Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. When I was in year 12 in high school, I remember there was a time when me and my, maybe about three of my friends, we were passing the school hall. You guys all have a school hall where you have your assemblies and you have your big meetings. Well, we were passing our school hall during lunchtime, and in the hall, there were a bunch of Christians from Norsini Boys, the school I went to, and Norsini Girls, which was the girls' school, and they had got together, and they were singing songs during lunchtime. And back then, I wasn't a Christian. And so me and my friends who weren't Christians, we were listening to them singing. And I remember they were singing, Jesus, you are my best friend. And we were like laughing at them because we weren't Christians, and we thought it was so weird that these guys, during lunchtime, had got together to sing to their God, right? And I remember standing there outside the hall, and it was a really nice day, and, you know, we were playing, and those people were inside the hall, stuck there. And I remember thinking this thing. I thought, those guys aren't free. Right? I remember thinking, those guys are stuck in that place while we're outside here, in the freedom, with fresh air, with a beautiful sun. Right? I remember thinking, those guys are stuck in those walls with the roof while we're out here in the open with the grass. I remember thinking, those guys have a God who tells them what to do, but we get to do whatever we want. Those guys have all these rules that make them like a slave, but we're out here and I can do whatever I want with my words, with my body, with my actions, because I don't have a God. And so I remember thinking this thing, those guys are slaves while I'm so free. I don't know if you've ever thought that before. Church isn't free. Have you ever thought that? You know, you got any friends who on Sunday they get to go to the beach, but you have to come to church and you feel like I'm like a slave. Or people who don't have a God, they don't have rules. So they can swear, they can smoke, they can drink alcohol, but we're not allowed to because we have these rules, but they're free. But have you ever thought that way? I'm sure maybe some of us have thought that before. I used to think that when I wasn't a Christian. But the Bible says something different. Right? The Bible says freedom is not found outside of Jesus. Freedom is found in Jesus. Freedom is found in the church. Freedom is found in Christ, even though we don't think that's the way it works. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. If I am in Christ, I am free. Not the other way around, because we think if I don't have Jesus, if I don't have God, I'm free. And that's not the truth. And so let me talk to you about some of the stuff that you might do when you have freedom. Right? We swear, because I'm free. Right? Have you swear? I went in high school, I used to swear all the time because, you know, God, I didn't believe in God. And so there wasn't a God who was saying, don't swear. So I would like bleep, bleep, bleep. And I would swear all the time. And I thought I was free. Right? People in church can't swear. They're not free. But if you were to come to me in high school and say, don't swear for a day, and you challenged me and you made a bet, I'll pay you $100 if you don't swear for a day. And I would think, yeah, I'd do it. I'd take the bet and I'd try it. And you know what? I would fail. Because without even knowing it, swear words just come out of my mouth. Right, some of you guys, if I hang out with you, you try not to swear because you're with me, and it's sometimes just like, and it just comes out, and you don't even know, and you're like, oh, sorry. Have you ever done that around your parents, around people? It just comes out. And so when you think about that, are you really free? If you can't control the words that come out of your mouth, how can you say you are free? Maybe it's that you are being controlled by the words. Right? Doesn't that make sense? If I'm really free and I can do what I want, wouldn't that mean I can control my words? But I can't even control my words. They control me. I'm not free. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to my words. And this is the way that sin works. We think we're free to do whatever we want, but in truth, we're not free. We're slaves to sin, and sin controls us. I have so many friends in high school, early high school, who are free. Because they're in high school, their parents don't know what they're doing, and so they started smoking. Right, I'm free. Do what I want with my body. Do what I want with my money. They go buy cigarettes, they start smoking. You get to the later part of high school, and they want to quit. Because they can't run in basketball anymore. They can't breathe properly, and it's bad for them. They want to quit, but they can't. They can't help it. They're addicted to it. They're, oh, just one more. And they can't help it. And you got to look at that and really ask, are you really free if you can't stop smoking? Or is it actually controlling you? Are you a slave to the cigarette? Are you a slave to your sin and your smoking? Same with alcohol. If you've seen people who are addicted to alcohol, it ruins their family. Alcohol, drugs, gambling, same thing. With all of our sin, impurity, the stuff we look at on our computers, the stuff we feel in anger, our jealousy, all of these sins in our lives control you. And so the Bible says, without God, you're not free. Without God, you're a slave. You're a slave to sin. And so I'm going to read a passage here that explains this. John chapter 8, verse 34 to 36. This is what Jesus says. I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son, he's talking about himself, if Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. What Jesus is saying, if you guys sin out of church because you don't believe in God, you're not free, you're a slave, and the sin controls you. But if you have Jesus, Jesus sets you free. Right? This is really important for us to understand. Freedom comes in Jesus, not out of Jesus. If you want freedom in your life, it doesn't mean you get rid of God. It means you need to find God. If you are a slave to your sinfulness today, you're addicted to something, you have a sinful tendency to do this sin, your thoughts are full of sin, your actions or emotions are full of sin, you need Jesus to set you free. The problem of sin comes in two ways. Right, we sin in two ways, where I do sin and I am a sinner. Right, they're the two problems. I do sin, right, I swear, I smoke or whatever, I do sin. Not that smoking is a sin, but it's not good for your body. But I do stuff that is sin. So I'll explain that. If you have any questions, come talk to me. I do sin, but I am a sinner. Right, they're two problems, right? It's who I am, it's what I do. There are two problems that we need to solve. In this passage, Paul says God saves us or frees us in those two ways. And that's what we're going to look at today. Ephesians 1:7. In him, in Jesus, right, that's our first one. If you are in Christ, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. That's the first one. The forgiveness of sins. That's the second one. Redemption, forgiveness. Redemption, forgiveness. God saves who I am and what I do. God saves who I am, a sinner, and he saves me from what I do, which is sin. So the first one is this, and I want to throw out some kind of long words today. This is the first way that God frees us. Can you read that? Justification. Everyone say justification. This is like the smart way of saying it. Basically, I have been saved or freed from the penalty of sin. This is past tense. I have been. When I come to God and I say, God, I know the story of Jesus on the cross and I believe it, at that moment, you are justified. You are saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is that you deserve to go to hell. Every time you sin, you deserve to receive judgment and anger from God. But when I believe in Jesus, I'm saved from that penalty. I don't go to hell, I go to heaven. God won't judge me for my sin. It's all gone, I'm forgiven, right? That's what Paul says, I'm forgiven. So the image is that God gets like a drug addict, right? He's caught with drugs, right? So he's got all this stash of drugs on him. The police find him, they bring him to court, and the judge, you know, hammers his navel, which is the hammer, that's what they call it, and he says, you were caught with drugs, but I forgive you, right? And he sets him free. Right, even though he's caught with drugs, you're meant to go to jail. Don't worry about it. Right, someone else is going to take the punishment, and for us, that was Jesus. He took the punishment. So that's what it means. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. What that means is this: have you ever thought that God will punish you as a Christian? Have you ever stubbed your toe, like you're walking and you hit your toe on something? You're like, ah, God is punishing me. I must have done something wrong. Have you ever thought that? It's just me. Or you're going through life and something bad happens and you're like, oh, God's punishing me because I swore or I was angry at my parents. God's punishing me. That's not true for Christians. If you are a Christian, God doesn't punish us because our sins have been forgiven. Jesus took the punishment on the cross when he died. He died instead of me. He took the punishment instead of me. So if I am in Christ, God never, ever punishes you for something you've done. God might, it doesn't mean everything's going to be great. Maybe something bad happens because God wants to teach you something. Maybe God wants to get your attention, but God will never punish us just because we did something wrong. Right? I am free from punishment. I am free from the penalty of sin. That also means when I die, when you die and you go to, you see God, you don't have to be afraid that God's going to say, hey, remember that time when you, Hey, you know, I'm going to count all the stuff that you did. No, 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 no. In Christ, God won't judge you if you have faith in Christ. He will look at you. He will see no sin because Jesus took it all. He will see you like he sees Jesus, righteous. And he will say, son, daughter, come into my eternal presence in heaven for the rest of your life. This is the promise of being free. But if this was all that God did, it wouldn't really be that good. Because if that's all that God did, it would be like this. Drug addict here, the judge says, all right, you're forgiven. And he just lets the drug addict go. What would happen to the drug addict? He'd do drugs. Right? He, oh, don't worry. You're not going to go to jail. And he sets the drug addict free. The drug addict would just go out and he'd just do drugs again. And then he'd get caught. And he'd be like, oh, don't worry, you're forgiven. He'd go out, he'd do drugs again. And for the rest of his life, he'd just be caught in this addiction to drugs. But God didn't do that with us. He didn't just say, okay, you're going to go to heaven and then now keep living your life of sin. What he does is that he is helping you every single day until you get to heaven to get rid of your sin problem. Right? I forgive what you've done. That's the first problem. But who am I? I'm a sinner. God helps me with that problem too. So the judge says, I forgive you, but I'm going to help you get rid of your drug addict problem or your sin for us sin problem. And we call this sanctification. You don't need to learn these words. You might see them later on as you guys keep being Christians. Basically, it's I am being, right, continuing and being saved or freed from the power of sin. Right, the sin problem in your life, you will fight until you die. But the Holy Spirit and God is helping you so that you can get rid of sin in your life. Right, so as Christians, it doesn't mean we're perfect straight away. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm never going to sin ever again, right? God is helping me to get rid of the problem of sin in my life. And that's a continual day-by-day process. But I am closer to Jesus than I was yesterday. I am less of a sinner tomorrow than I am today, but I'm not there yet, right? I'm under construction until I get to heaven, right? We are being sanctified, or God is saving me or freeing me from the power of sin. So let me give you a story of this word. Redemption, Paul says. I want to read the verse again. In Jesus, we have redemption and forgiveness. Redemption, that word, basically it means you are being saved as a slave. Right? That's how that word works. In the Old Testament, there's a story. You guys know Moses? Right? God sends Moses to what? What does Moses do? All right, do you guys know Pharaoh? Egyptian dude. And so there's Pharaoh. He's got the Israelites who are God's people, and they're slaves to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh, he's like, you guys are my slaves. And God picks Moses, sends him to Pharaoh to set the people free. The people are slaves. God sends Moses so that the people might go free. And at the, you know, Moses does all these plagues, and the last plague is what? You guys remember the last plague? Yeah, death of the firstborn. So God says this to the Israelites through Moses, kill a lamb, right, get the blood, paint it on your door, and then when the angel of death comes, or when God comes to kill, to bring judgment for their sins, if you have the blood of the lamb over your door, I will not kill the firstborn. I'll pass over you. And so basically, all the Israelites, they kill a lamb, they put it on their door, and God passes over them, but the Egyptians, he kills the firstborn, and the people are then allowed to go free. This story of the Old Testament has everything to do with you. Right, did you know the Old Testament is all about Jesus? That story is all about Jesus and what God does for you. Pharaoh makes the Israelites a slave. Sin makes us a slave. Right? God sends Moses to set the people free. For us, God sends Jesus to set us free. Right? In the Old Testament, they kill a lamb and put faith that somehow this blood is going to protect me. For us, the lamb has been slain. Jesus on the cross, I put my faith in his blood. God will not judge me. He'll pass over me. Right? So in the story of the Old Testament, God sets the people free from slavery of Pharaoh. And for us, God sets us free from the slavery of sin. Right? This is an amazing thing that God does. But the question is, do you believe it? Do you live it? Do you live as if you are free? You are free from sin. You're free from your guilt. You're free from your addiction. That God has set you free from judgment, from hell. We are totally free. The last one that Paul doesn't talk about is called glorification. I will be saved from the presence of sin. And when I die in this life, or when Jesus returns, all the sin, the presence will be absolutely gone, and I'll be with God just like Jesus. I'll be like Jesus, right? That I'll no more sin in my life. But that happens when we die or when Jesus returns. I'm freed from the presence. So if you're a Christian here, this has happened already. There's no more penalty. This is happening now. You're being saved from the power of sin every day, and this will happen in the future. I will be freed or saved from the presence of sin. No more sin in my life. That means as Christians, I have hope that every day God is helping me to get rid of sin. I'm changing. When I look back to my high school days when I was your age, like I get totally shocked. Like couple of years ago, I was looking through my Hotmail account. I don't know why. And then I found an email that I wrote. And I was like so shocked because every second word literally was a swear word. And I was like, I knew I used to swear, but I didn't know I used to swear that much. It was like, if I put it up here, it'd be like all these black. You know how they censor it? It'd just be every second word would be black. And I'd have to cover it up because that's how much I swore. And I didn't know it at the time that I was actually changing. But when I look back to who I used to be, like I've changed quite a lot. And I'm glad that God had changed me because I'm glad I'm not that person I used to be. Because that person used to be really emo. Used to swear a lot, you know, used to be really selfish, used to always, you know, hang out with girls. I mean, not that that's bad, but, you know, all that stuff. I'm just glad that I'm not who I used to be. That God doesn't just leave you in this life to be stuck with sin, but God is helping you to get rid of your sin. And the Holy Spirit lives in us to do all that work. So the question is this. Do you believe it? Are you living in it? PG1, this is how it applies to you. Do you feel guilt in your life? Any of us feel guilty about something we've done in the past? In Christ, you're forgiven. There's no reason for you to carry around that guilt. God says, you're forgiven, then you're forgiven. When I first became a Christian, I'd hurt some people really badly, especially one person. And I said, God, you've forgiven me, but I don't know if that person's forgiven me. I'm just going to carry around this guilt. I feel bad for what I've done. But God, if God says I'm forgiven, that's the higher order thing. If God says I'm forgiven, that's all that matters. I am forgiven. Right, you should go, I went to that person and I got forgiveness. But if God says you're forgiven, there's no reason for you to carry around guilt. You're free from guilt. If you have regrets in your life, you're free from them. If you have baggage, you're free from them. God says you are free from all of your sins, all of your past. These things don't make you who you are. God says you're free. God says you're free. Do you guys have addictions? Things or sins that you keep committing, God will set you free from them. It might be a slow process, but God is helping you. Do you guys have an anger problem? God will work in your life to be more like Christ. You guys easily jealous, easily lose your temper, right? Talk behind people's back, all those things, God will help you to get rid of them. Do you have bad habits? God will free you from all of them. And this is a great thing, that I am under construction. I'm still on my way, but God is working in my life today. I want to challenge you guys. Look back to who you were a year ago. Look back to who you were 3 years ago. Are you changing? If you're not, Do you really believe in Jesus? Because when we believe in Jesus, God will change us. If you are, we thank God that he has saved us not only from the penalty, but is saving me from the power of sin. And one day, save me totally from the presence of sin. So I want us to close our eyes and pray and reflect. You know, this whole thing we call the gospel, it's the good news of Jesus. This is the foundation to what we're about in church as Christians. That God would send Jesus to take my place, take my punishment, take my sin. That when I put faith in Christ, I'm forgiven for my sins. I'm forgiven from the judgment of God. Forever, past, present, future sins. I'm forgiven. There's no more fear that when I die and I come face to face with God, that he will judge me. No, I'm forgiven. And the promise is, and a lot of times we don't emphasize this, that every day of my life on earth until I go to heaven, God is working every day. And I might still sin sometimes, but he's forgiven. But God and me, we're working together to get rid of the power of sin in my life, the anger problem, the sin problems, the addiction problems, the jealousy problems, the identity problem. God is helping me. And so we're in one of two places in this room. You're either in Christ, and we have to thank God. You've forgiven me and you are redeeming me. You are working in my life to make me more like Jesus every day. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Or you're in another camp and you aren't in Jesus yet. You haven't put faith in Jesus yet. And I want to invite you today to put faith in Jesus. To be free from your sin. To be free from judgment. Free from hell. Free from separation from God. Free from being a slave to sin. And truly find freedom in Christ. So let's pray. Wherever you are, we close our eyes. We speak to God. Let's pray. Thank you. That is totally free. Free from judgment. Free from the wrath of God. Free from hell. Free from guilt. Free from our addictions. Free from everything that sin brought into our lives. We are totally set free from the penalty. And in our lives every day, though we sometimes forget it, you are at work. That the power of sin grows weaker every day, and the power of the Holy Spirit grows stronger in our lives every day, until that day we see you face to face and all of the sin in our lives is totally gone. Help us as PG1 to live in this truth, that we will walk victoriously every day. When we face sin, that we know that God has given us victory to overcome it. There is no temptation that has seized us that we cannot overcome in Christ. And every time we sin, that we will not judge ourselves or feel guilty, because Christ has set us free from all of that. help us to live in that truth. Father, for the brothers and sisters in this room who have not yet put faith in Christ, God, we pray that one day soon that your sons and daughters might come to you and put their faith in you and may live in this freedom that we are able to enjoy. Live in that freedom that comes in Christ, in our identity in you. Father, we thank you so much. You are a God who loves us and you are working in our lives even now. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen.
If you're new, come to the front of the hall right after service. I have something for you. See you soon!
Hey PG1, this is an announcement for those who are subscribed to the booklets, for the QT booklets. All those who have subscribed, I need to see you after the service. Pastor Paul will see you. Just in the teacher's room. So announcement goes out to all those people who have subscribed for a QT book. You need to go see Pastor Paul to get your book and you need to get your name written down. Everyone else, the QT books will go on sale next week. Thank you.
Hey guys, so like for the past weeks, Thomas Tong Sanyim has provided drinks for all of you guys, but there's a limited number of cups, so you guys, if you want to get more, you have to keep the cups, so don't chuck your cups away. Hold on to them, and then you can use that same cup to get more, alright? So don't chuck them away. Thanks, guys.
Hi, guys. Welcome to PG1. If you're new, come to the